Hello, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is Bruce Ash welcoming you to a special edition of Inside Track. As always, thanks so much for supporting our great Inside Track sponsors, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, and Corazon Cabinets. These are great local companies you should do business with. Talking about local companies you should be doing business with, Corazon Cabinets is your locally owned source for high-quality kitchen, bath, and office cabinets, all at wholesale prices. Joy, Kelly, and Jennifer can help you design your dream kitchen or bath area. Corazon Cabinets carries J&K, Conestoga, and now Medallion Cabinets. Come by and visit the showroom soon. See our displays of what your home will look like with Corazon Cabinets. We are the one few supplier of Medallion Cabinets in Southern Arizona. Call 488-2266. Let them know you heard this ad on Inside Track to receive an additional 5% discount on Corazon's already low wholesale prices. You'll be amazed by the great styles and super low prices at Corazon Cabinets. I just attended a meeting in Phoenix which will make Arizona one of four states to say that Donald J. Trump is our party's nominee for president in 2020. He's the one man standing between democracy and socialism. The one man standing up for Americans who have been disappointed time and time again by politicians who campaign one way and govern the other. He's a proven representative for all of us. We need another 4 years of Donald Trump delivering on his promises, like judges, like national defense, like lower taxes and more jobs. Some may ask, why don't we have a traditional primary? Well, we are. But what's the sense of wasting $3 million of taxpayers' money? Why wouldn't we want to avoid outside money from trying to influence our election or Democrats to vote as Republicans, as they have done so many times in the past? In 2020, Arizona Republicans will select who we will award 57 votes at the 2020 Republican National Convention next year in Charlotte, the same way Democrats did in 1996 for Bill Clinton's second term and for Barack Obama's second term in 2012, as well as what Republicans did for George W. Bush in 2004. Now, any Republican who is registered can participate by becoming precinct committeeman by December 31st. Call Pima GOP headquarters at 321-1492 or drop by the office at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Campbell to fill out your form. Let your voice be heard. Ed Ackerley, the independent nominee for mayor, will join us shortly for the rest of the hour. Ed is the only person standing in the way of stopping Raul Grijalva's accomplice and choice for mayor. Regina Romero is the last act in the Grijalvista's plans to ruin our city. He started with TUSD, moved on to the County Board of Supervisors, and later the U.S. Congress. But now he supports the biggest threat in our city's 244-year history, Regina Romero. She's under the control of the Center for Biological Diversity, and she will impose Sanctuary City on all Tucson if she's elected. Grijalva is prepared to spend another $1 million to get his way. Ed Ackerley is the last man standing between Regina Romero and the ruin of our town by socialists, by Romero and Grijalva. Ed, a lifelong Democrat, represents what made America great under presidents like Kennedy and Truman. He'll stand up for public safety, for jobs, for new roads, park improvements, and our future as a city free of a dangerous sanctuary city change to our city charter that we cannot stand for or tolerate. Hey, he ain't a Republican, but there are some things me and other Republicans may not see eye to eye on. But he's the only shot we have to defeat Grijalva's hand-picked candidate. We'll hear from Ed right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
I'm Thomas Wilkinson Investments, 777-1911, is a unique investment management firm. They pay little attention to where the market indicators are because smart investment management goes way beyond checking stock exchanges. They are very good at managing all types of investment based on client expectations. They build relationships, and they want clients, not customers. My family is proudly included among them, and they'll help you, as they did us, design a portfolio that achieves what you want when you need it. Imus Wilkinson Investments, they're really good at what they do. 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Our guest for the entire show today, I'm very happy that we have an opportunity to grab Ed to join us, is Ed Ackerley. Ed is a doctor. He's a PhD, and Ed was born and raised here in Tucson. He's the youngest son of Gene and Gloria Ackerley, seven children. What was it like to be the last kid?
Well, by the time they got around to me, Bruce, it was kind of interesting. They had been through all my brothers and sisters, and by the time they got to me, it was kind of, don't wake us up when you come in, and follow the rules, and otherwise, I had a pretty good childhood and a pretty good life because I had built-in babysitters and people that had forged ahead of me, so my folks were good when I came along. It was a wonderful experience to grow up in East Tucson with six brothers and sisters, so it was great.
And your parents came to Tucson in 1957. And interestingly enough, I went on this KTKT, I think it was a KTKT kind of legacy website the other day, and it mentioned your dad who had managed radio stations. And remind the listeners here which radio stations or radio station your dad was involved with.
Well, he came to Tucson in 57, and then he managed for 10 years. He came to start with KCUB, KCUB.
Yeah, that's right.
Still like this. Yeah, and he worked there for a couple of years, then he moved over to K10 Radio, 580 AM, which is still a signal that's broadcast out of Tucson. And then at the very end of his radio career, he was with KCEE, and he managed that station for a couple of years, and then in 1968, they opened up the agency. So he was in management at radio stations for about 11 years here before they opened up the advertising agency.
And I think KTAN now, isn't that a Sierra Vista channel?
Well, the KTAN one?
No, KTAN. I thought that was, I thought the call letters had gone down to Sierra Vista.
They did, but the signal 580 AM is still alive in Tucson. It's a religious, a non-commercial religious station that's still broadcasting out of Tucson, but the call letters themselves did go down to Sierra Vista, correct?
Yeah. So in 1968, the Ackerleys opened Ackerley Advertising, a full-service advertising agency. Ed and his brother Bill own the agency today. And what does Bill think about you running for mayor? Does he think you're crazy, or is he proud of you, or a little of both?
Well, he's in it with me. You know, when the agency is supporting the campaign, obviously, and so we're doing a lot of work together on both the campaign, but also on our clients. You know, I asked, obviously, my wife first and my children what they thought of me running. But, of course, my father is still alive. He's 96 and still doing well. And then my brother and I own the agency. So I get a lot of input from both my brother Bill and from my father Gene. They still talk to me every day about all the things that are going on in the campaign. And my brother is kind of a sounding board for me for things that we need to talk about in terms of the campaign. So he's pretty excited about it. And, you know, for the agency, it's a good thing for the agency because we've been around for a long time, but this is bringing us a little bit more preeminence in the marketplace. So it's been good for everybody.
What's sort of the most interesting observation that your dad's made about your candidacy?
The concept of jump in. He consistently talks about how all of us have to come together and jump in and solve these problems that have been, seem like perennial problems over the last couple of decades. Specifically the roads and the police and fire and those issues that I talk about. He is very big on reminding me to tell people that these are our problems and these are our needs that we have to solve. And the only way that we're going to do it is to come together, be we Republican or Democrat or Independent, or we're all Tucsonans, and we all need to jump in and fix these things so they quit being such an issue in our community.
So, you know, this may be a little difficult to talk about, but it won't be difficult for you. But as a Republican, it's difficult for me. You've been a lifelong Democrat, haven't you?
I was, and I do. I did go before the GOP and talked to them about that and told them why. You know, my son was born in 1922. He lived through the Depression. one point in his life, there were quite a few people from his extended family that came and lived in Needles, California, in his home, because his father, my grandfather, was an engineer on the Santa Fe Railroad, and so he had a job through the Depression. But they stripped and saved and sacrificed just like everyone else, and then World War II came along, and they were all involved in that in one way or another, the sacrifices that were made there. My father and mother were basically FDR Democrats, and then later on, perhaps epitomized by John F. Kennedy, patriotic, hardworking, all in for country, wanting to help other people and help the country be a strong country. And they were also Roman Catholic. I'm Roman Catholic, and the Catholic tradition is, you know, large families, and at the time back in the 50s, 60s was largely Democratic in that time frame. So I was Democratic and Catholic by birth, and kind of was the thing to be. And over the last 40-plus years that I've been watching politics, that Democratic Party that my parents grew up in is not the Democratic Party of 2019. It certainly has moved very far to the left and extremely much more liberal and much more unfocused on the quality needs that my parents, you know, lived their lives about. So moving into the independent side of things was still a way for me to kind of move towards a more centrist view, which was pretty much what my parents had raised me as, more of a moderation in all things was the concept behind it. And being a Democrat in that time frame, they were not liberal left-wing Democrats. They were middle of the road. John F. Kennedy asked not what your country can do for you, but ask what you could do for your country and how can you help be part of the solution and not be the problem. So that's why I'm Democrat by birth, but I've last many decades, I think I've practiced more of a Republican and more of an independent viewpoint of small governance and a little bit more fiscal conservative than what obviously the Democrats are practicing today.
Well, we sure hear a lot from the far left in the Democrat Party, but a lot of the working Democrats and families and so on, they share the same sort of thinking that you do, Ed, and your opponent, Ms. Romero, is a bought and paid for candidate of the Center for Biological Diversity, as well as Grijalva political machine. You are really a traditional Democrat running as an independent here in Tucson, Arizona for mayor.
Yeah, and a lot of my views actually align more with the Republican Party than they would perhaps with the current Democratic Party. You know, I'm for small government, I'm for control on taxes and making sure that we're not overtaxing people. I'm not a big fan of continual giveaway of things, of government and citizen resources to people who, you know, I'm all for helping people when they need it, but the continual lifelong being on, you know, that whole concept of you know, socialism or free stuff for people, it's just, you know, that's not how my parents lived through the Depression. My parents lived through World War II and sacrificed and worked for every single thing that they ever earned in their life. They did on their own and worked really hard, and that was kind of the focus that I've had in my life, is that it's okay to help people and give people a hand up and give them a way to get through difficult times, but we shouldn't be doing that full-time all the time for many people and be giving away things that people have worked so hard to gain. So I do align with an independent viewpoint, but also perhaps a little more to the right in terms of those global and national issues. I will say that I might be considered a local Democrat in the sense that I do believe that we need to help one another and be really conscious of our neighbor and help each other in our local neighborhoods, but fiscally sound and do that in a responsible way.
Well, you sound sure like a blue dog Democrat to me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you can actually talk to Blue Dog Democrats about these things. So, you know, in addition to your executive career, Ed also teaches college-level courses at the University of Arizona and Northern Arizona, the University in marketing, advertising, creativity, professional communication, sales, public relations, leadership, and administration. Ed got his educational degree and master's in education and educational leadership from Northern Arizona University, a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Radio and TV from University of Arizona. Were you ever associated with KUAT here in Tucson?
A little bit. When I was going to school back in the late 70s, we had a lot of classes that were involved with KUAT and the University Radio and Television Stations. We quite a bit of lab work in there. But as I graduated, I moved on into the advertising side of things. And of course, the local stations are public stations, and so they don't have per se. So it's been most of them, the commercial side of advertising with the advertising agency and commercial stations.
So in your career, you've actually worked, you've both received paychecks, but you've also written the front side of plenty of paychecks, as opposed to Miss Romero, who is usually signing the back of the check. What significant differences do you think, from the standpoint of who writes a check and who gets a check, what does that distinguish you from your opponent in this particular election, do you think?
Well, many times, see, my brother and I tend to write checks to other people and forego the check ourselves. And I think that harkens back to that spirit that we talked about with my folks, that hard work in the Depression and through the World War II era and even into the 50s, about how you take care of your obligations, you take care of your mortgage and all the things that you need to pay to sustain the family. And then, the way people become rich, I guess, is to pay themselves first. But we've always operated the advertising agency as we pay all of our suppliers first. We pay all of the media. We pay anybody that we work with. We make sure that they get paid. And that's been the success of our company over 51 years, is to have a great reputation of being a group of people that are true to their word and do what they need to do to make sure that everyone is sound at the end of the relationship. I think the flip side of that is that you haven't managed the payroll or haven't managed a company where you've had to make those ends meet and figure out how you are going to finance the cash flow and make sure that the investments are sound and so forth. That's what the city needs to be doing, is to managing that budget, that $1.5 billion budget, $1.5 billion budget is, that's a lot of money, and we need to manage it just like I do in my business and make sure that we pay our obligations and live within our means. And I think that is the difference, that you have a perspective of how to manage and how to lead.
So having written the front of the paycheck, actually paid your employees and paid vendors and been responsible for making payroll and having a little bit of money left over at the end of the year for profits, that is a significant difference between you and Regina Romero. She has worked for various political campaigns and political organizations. Most notably, she's worked for the Center for Biological Diversity here in Southern Arizona. Not exactly a friend of jobs and people who both get a paycheck as well as people who have to sign the front side of a check either. In what fashion, what way, Ed, do you think your style of leadership is going to be, if I can say the word, radically different? She's the radical in this campaign, but there are some real radical differences between your style of running a business and the way that she's run herself in the Tucson City Council. Don't you think that, her record comes into play here with all the flip-flops and all of the mistakes that she's made as a council person for the last 12 years that us taxpayers and the citizens of Tucson are all paying for?
I do, and I believe that, going back to signing a paycheck, I've helped my family and myself personally has helped countless businesses in Tucson who are growing jobs and employing people based on growth and making sure that the companies that we deal with in the advertising cycle are creating wealth and creating jobs and creating an economy that is meaningful. It's just the engine. Advertising is the engine that runs the free enterprise system. I would say that is an interesting perspective to have when we're talking about governance and the city council and the record of the current council and what has been going on for the last 12 years. I think there's no better place to epitomize that than to take a look at the staffing of the police department and how that has gone down some 500 over the last few years, and how the condition of the roads, even though there has been funding that has been put on the table to fix the roads, we're still in a situation where many of the roads are in pretty darn bad shape. And so record does make a difference, and people need to look and scrutinize the record of the current council and the current responsible parties, just like they should 4 years from now, 8 years from now, after I have one or two terms. I need to show some results with the money that has been allocated for these things. How are we going to go about and making some changes? So I do think that having that whole perspective of what are the results and what are the decisions that have been made that have led us to this point Well, we're down so many police officers and our roads are in not very good condition. We had to pass a $225 million bond to fix up the parks because they had been neglected for so long. And so the question has, it just begs, what has been going on over the last 12 years and some of these things haven't been resolved?
So your opponent she says that she is against Sanctuary City, but she says it's more in the way that the initiative has been written. She doesn't specifically say that she's opposed to Sanctuary City concept, and she certainly hasn't voted that way as a Tucson City Council person. Sanctuary City is probably the biggest issue in this campaign. Maybe, I mean, with all due respect, it may be bigger than the election for mayor, because if you're elected, there is going to be a different way of governing in the city versus a councilwoman who has been on the far left side of politics for the last 12 years, now operating within a potentially dangerous Sanctuary City sort of an operation, don't you think?
I do, and you mentioned that Raul Grijalva would have some impact in that discussion, and he came out just a couple of days ago on another radio program and point blank said that he is in favor of making Tucson a sanctuary city, and that is a goal that they would have, is to make Tucson a sanctuary city. And of course, my opponent does align with that Grijalva thinking, and that whole perspective of sanctuary city is a good thing. I am opposed to the initiative. I've strongly come out against the initiative. I think the initiative is not a good thing for the city of Tucson. But by extension, I'm also opposed to the concept or the label of Sanctuary City for our community. It's just not in the best interest, both in the short term, but more importantly, in the long term. I don't believe it solves the problem that is being brought forth that the initiative tries to address. And then it actually does probably more damage to our community than it does to help the people that they're trying to help. And so I come at it from a different perspective. I just think that we need to make decisions for the city of Tucson for the short term and the long term that are in the best interest of everyone concerned, including people who might be coming here, passing through during the short time that they're in Tucson as they're moving on to other parts of the country. But for those of us that live here and have lived here, like me, I was born and raised here, labeling ourselves a sanctuary city is not in our long-term best interest. All you have to do is look at some of the cities in California and along the West Coast and other places that have made themselves a sanctuary city by decree, and you see what the result is. And, you know, we're looking at some statistics now on crime rates, looking at statistics on what happens to the parks and what's called urban camping and what has happened to these cities that have declared themselves a sanctuary city in terms of crime rate and other things. It is an alarming trend, and I just think it's not in the best interest of our community to be going down that road of labeling ourselves a sanctuary city.
Your opponent certainly has conducted herself as somebody who is in favor of, as you said, sanctuary cities over her career at the city council, and her political patron, who is going to be mighty beholden to, Raul Grijalva, has said that he very much supports her candidacy and supports Sanctuary City. So we'll see how that goes. Ed, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Sanctuary Cities. I want to talk about the outside influences on this city election, the enormous amount of cash that was spent by the Romero campaign to win her primary just a couple of weeks ago, and also talk about the very good announcement that you've now reached your city matching fund. So when we come back, we'll return with
Ed Ackerley,
and he is our guest for the entire show today. You're listening to Inside Track. This is Bruce Ash. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Bruce Ash here on Inside Track. Our guest for the remainder of the show today is Ed Ackerley. He is running for mayor. So, all right, well, so we are talking about Sanctuary City. And what are the real dangers, Ed, of Sanctuary City if this became a permanent part? Let's say this the right way. Sanctuary City becomes a permanent part of our city charter. This isn't just some council ordinance. This is a city charter change that this very, very left-wing group, the people running it, are way, way, way out of the mainstream. What, in your view, and in the view of others, Ed Ackerley, are the things that are so dangerous about Sanctuary City?
Mark, foremost is a public safety issue. The ordinance basically takes the orders that are already written for police and basically informs our local sworn law enforcement officials to not collaborate with federal officials. And that goes against what they're sworn to do. It goes against their oath. It doesn't make us any more safe. As a matter of fact, it probably makes us less safe as a community to not be able to collaborate with federal officials. The second thing is an obvious thing, and that is the withdrawal of perhaps up to $150 million of state shared revenue that is on the line. Representative Fincham and others have brought forth legislation on the state level that says that if a law like sanctuary cities, which is against the state mandated laws, that dollars could be withheld from the municipalities based on that conflict, and that's not a good thing. And of course, the administration would also have the opportunity to, and has threatened before, to withdraw funding from a federal source based on that. That obviously remains to be seen, but that certainly is a threat from the current administration. Thirdly, I think that there's a marketing problem there. Basically, from an economic viewpoint, basically tells part of the United States that we have decided to label ourselves a sanctuary city, much like some of the California municipalities have and other places in the country. What that basically does is tell those people who are against that as an idea that, you know, Tucson's not a place that they should be visiting or starting businesses or come spend their money. We're a sales tax-driven community, and we thrive on sales tax. That's how we derive the majority of the money that we use in a general fund to fund police and fire and our roads and parks. And if we take away one of the drivers of that, which is tourism, then we affect the long-term viability of our city based on that economic impact. And then just overall, the cities that have gone to this concept of sanctuary city have seen increased crime rates and urban camping, just a deterioration of some of the long-held beliefs that our community has had. And there are just other ways to solve the problem for people that are transitioning through our community as they make their way to other parts of the country. And our law enforcement should be able to deal with them in a respectful and positive way and move them through. And so from those perspectives, law enforcement, an economic engine, even from a safety issue, I just believe that this is not a good reason for us to change the charter, open up the charter, and make a change on it for something like this. It's just not in the long-term best interest of our community.
Let me suggest one additional thing that becomes an issue. You talked about economics, and I agree with your thesis on economics in general, but there's one thing that you didn't mention, and that is the more people who are here, who are undocumented, who are willing to work for low wages, certainly depresses the job market here in Tucson and takes away jobs from others who wish to work but aren't going to be exploited the way sometimes people here without proper documentation are. There's no question that factory workers and retail workers, construction workers, they're all going to be impacted by a sanctuary city here in Tucson, Arizona, don't you think?
I do, specifically in the building trades. We look at that, which has had a hard time over the last 10 years because of the downturn in the economy. And the building trades have tried to spring back from that, and of course, some activity in the marketplace now, which is a good thing. But in that regard, because there is a kind of a void of craftsmen and folks that can do cement, can do some of the things that are required of building trades, because those craftsmen have moved on and some of them haven't been trained, there is a big void there, and lots of inequity to our folks that have been here for a long time trying to struggle through this economic downturn that we've experienced. It does create an issue that is not good for the city, and we want everyone in the city to have a living wage and be able to prosper with the American dream. And if we introduce people that are willing to work for a lot less and are undocumented and maybe perhaps are not even contributing to the tax base in ways that does not does not benefit us in any significant way. It actually makes it more difficult for us to be a more prosperous city. So I agree with you on that, Bruce, that is an issue that needs to be addressed. And, you know, when you bring that up with the sanctuary cities folks, they just, you know, poo-poo that idea and don't even think that it's an issue that is something that we should be discussing. But I do think that it is an issue that we all have to be aware of if this does pass.
Well, this is a group that the people who advocate for sanctuary cities, they believe that we should have no borders. They believe that anybody should be able to come to America, live wherever they want, take advantage of local, state, and federal benefits, that in some cases there's not a lot of tax support from them. And they also are people who, these leaders, they are really virulent anti-constitutionalists. They believe that anybody, whether they are a citizen or not, should be allowed to vote. I mean, really and truly, Ed, this is a troubling group of leaders, and they have been almost rabid. Some of the things that they write about on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, they're filthy, they're vile, they're vulgar. And you can just imagine, this is, remember, anybody who is voting against sanctuary cities, you must vote for Ed Ackerley. Rahina Romero, the Democratic majority, the County Board of Supervisors, they can flip over their support of this in 2 seconds. We need a mayor who is going to stand up against sanctuary cities, and voters need to vote against sanctuary cities as well for Tucson. And when you're voting against sanctuary city, the only logical vote that you can make for the mayor of Tucson is Ed Ackerley. And friends, I mean that more than any campaign that we've ever been in before. Look, I opposed Jonathan Rothschild when he ran for mayor first and second time. But when you look back at Jonathan's tenure, Ed, you know, it is one of moderation. It's one of slow progress that the city has made. You take the last 8 years and really you throw it down the drain. You throw it down the drain with sanctuary cities, and you throw it down the drain voting for Rahina Romero and Raul Grijalva, because that's who you're going to get. If you look at Rahina Romero's face, you're going to see Raul Grijalva, and you're going to see some of these vile people who want us to embrace a sanctuary city, sort of a life here in Tucson, and it's not going to be a good one for us by any stretch.
I hope that message gets out, Bruce, because I do believe that the majority of the people in the city of Tucson are going to reject this initiative and the general concept of sanctuary and sanctuary cities. The whole concept is just contrary to what we have built over the last several decades here in the city of Tucson. You know, we're about growth and economic stimulus and jobs and living wages and trying to maintain, you know, even though the poverty level is such in Tucson, and some people are living close to that line and so forth. Tucson has been a great place to grow a business and to raise a family, and to take the charter and open it up and to insert into the charter this concept of sanctuary city kind of flies in the face of what we have been working on for so many years in terms of that economic prosperity. Now, there are 3 candidates. I saw the sample ballot this week. The city clerk sent it to us to preview. And it does list the Democrat, it does list a Green Party candidate, and he's on because he got the signatures available, but he has come out vehemently in support of the Sanctuary City Initiative and Sanctuary City. So the Green Party has aligned themselves in total agreement with the Sanctuary Cities movement. Then, of course, my major opponent has come out somewhat timidly against the actual initiative, but the indications are that maybe down the line that sanctuary would be something that would be considered. For me, I am opposed to the initiative, but an even stronger opposition comes when we talk about just becoming the label of a sanctuary city and what that means for us in the future. And I'm against that from a business standpoint. I'm against that from just being a citizen of Tucson. And I just think we have to let the people know that are voting in this election that this is a bad thing for the city of Tucson, and it's something we can't allow to have happen. I do predict that if it, by some strange measure, does get voted on and is passed, that it will immediately get hit with legal action and would be prolonged in terms of its implementation, because it would probably get an immediate injunction. And part of that probably would come from the state legislature that is saying that this is in contradiction to state law, standing state law. So you know, it just opens a can of worms that is not a good thing for the city of Tucson in the short term and the long term. You know what it also doesn't do? I don't think it really actually helps the people that it was...
No, it doesn't.
You're exactly right. It actually is more of a political thing than it actually is in terms of helping the humanitarian needs of the people that we're trying to help. And you and I, over the last several decades, we've helped lots of people. And our community has been one of the stalwart humanitarian places in the country. And I even remember back when we were all set up, when the hurricanes were coming through and all the problems we were having in New Orleans and other places, Tucson stepped to the plate and helped in those crisis situations. As this border issue, if it continues, if people still are coming across and needing some help, Tucson is going to continue to be a welcoming city and to help those folks transition and legally into the country and to be reunited with family members and so forth. But we're not turning our back on people because we're saying we don't want to be a sanctuary city. What we're doing is we're being responsible and saying, let's handle this in a professional and with dignity and respect for the people that need our help the most. And then at the same time, let's protect the sanctity, if you will, of what we've built in the city of Tucson now and in the future.
Let's talk about money for a second. You're running as a clean candidate, and you have just qualified under matching funds. How can people help you in your election?
Well, I do have to say that the process of running as a candidate for mayor is a daunting task. Because I'm running as an independent, I had to get quite a few more signatures than the party candidates. So I collected over 5,300 signatures and were able to turn in and actually got 5,200 exactly certified by the city clerk. And then the second giant hurdle they make you do is they make you get $310 donations from city residents. It doesn't sound like that's that big of a deal, but I've talked to any number of people who have run for office who say that is one of the hardest things to do, is to get people to part with $10. I actually even say it's easier to get the $500 checks from people than it is to get people to part with that $10 and get that number. So we've turned those into the city clerk, and we hope to be certified. In the next day or two, we should be certified with that. People can help in a couple of ways. One is obviously to spread the word. Two is to make a donation. Now, we're going to be faced with some pretty high dollar, if the Democratic primary is any indicator what might happen in the general election, there might be some independent expenditure coming in from out of state to try and bolster the campaign and trying to get the sanctuary city movement passed and so forth. But that begins to ratchet up. You know, we're running as a clean candidate, and we're capped at the amount of money that we can spend, and we need to maximize that so people can make a donation on my website, AckerleyForMayor.com. They can give me a call on my cell phone, and we can make arrangements. My campaign is an organic campaign in the sense that I am drawing from both the lifelong Democrats who do not want to have a continuation of the last 12 years, and want to, contribute to the political landscape by saying, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to do something different. I'm appealing to the 80,000 independents in the city that don't have a structured party behind them, but they do have a vote, and they do want to have representation. And then, of course, the GOP, and that's an important constituent for me, because they certainly don't want to have 12 more years of the kind of record that has been put on the table. So this is important. This is a really important election for the future of our city. It's important in terms of water. It's important in terms of police and fire. It's important in terms of our roads. And I do believe it's important just for the trajectory of the way we go for the next maybe 25 to 50 years. What direction does Tucson want to be? I can recall being back in the 60s and 70s when there was a no-growth movement and there was a water problem, and some city council members were recalled because of that, and there was a lot of infighting and the direction of our city. And we suffered from that. All you have to do is look a little farther to the north and see how they didn't go through that process of no growth, no freeways, water issues and so forth. And now they're, the seventh largest municipality in the country, and we're lagging behind and don't have direct flights to many places. So we need to really say, what kind of a city do we want to be now and in the future? And I think electing a mayor that has that vision in place of the future, I think, is where we need to be. And that's why I'm running for mayor, is to help my city and to fix these problems and invite people to jump in and join us in that cause.
You know, Ed, for years I used to complain that our friends in Tucson knew what Tucson didn't want to be, but they hadn't figured out what they want to be. And unfortunately, there's been almost $1 million of outside money that's come into this town for your opponent's campaign. They have spent this money to get her elected through the primary. They're going to spend a ton of money to help elect her. Whether I hope they give to you, but even if they don't, they have to vote for you. They have to vote against Sanctuary City. They have to vote for you for mayor. It's really the only thing that we can do to prevent outsiders from New York, from Chicago, from Los Angeles, places that we have absolutely nothing in common in. It is absolutely essential to vote for Ed Ackerley. Ed, how do people get in contact with you again real quick, because we're coming right up on the end of the show?
AckerleyForMayor.com, and that's A-C-K-E-R-L-E-Y, AckerleyForMayor.com, or if you call me on my cell phone, 850-7058. I take calls from constituents all the time and happy to talk with someone about my platform and what my vision is for Tucson.
Well, again, folks, remember, this is a fight against outside money, outside influences. This is a fight not to Grijalva eyes and Romero eyes our entire community. It is our last stand to keep control away from outside interests who want to turn our city into something else. These people do have a vision for Tucson, and it's not the vision that any of us, Ed or myself, and frankly, a lot of folks living on the east side, west side, south side, and north side. This is not the direction for Tucson. Ed, I want to thank you for joining us. You'll be on again. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed our interview with Tucson Mayor candidate Ed Ackerley. And thanks to our great sponsors, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, and Corazon Cabinets. I know each of these owners. They advertise on Inside Track because they support the ideas we discuss on the show every week. I hope you'll support them. Please come back and join us next week for our first live show since July. I promise another great afternoon of political talk. Until then, for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash. I've had a great time talking to Ed Ackerley. I hope you've enjoyed it. Wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon.